All right. Hey, I want to ask you to find a couple things. I hope you, on the way, and got a program. There's a sermon note page in there, but I hope you got one of these booklets called The Story. It says The Story. You're going to take that out and hold that, keep that handy. If you didn't get one, you can get one on the way out. They should have them at the Welcome Center there. You're going to hold on to that. I'm going to walk you through that towards the a little bit later in the sermon. Well, take your Bibles, find Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Today, we're going to start a sermon series called Transformed. And in 1984, there was a cartoon that came out called The Transformers. And I was a little bit old for their market, but my brother, my younger brother, was 9 at that time. And man, he was right in their bullseye. He became a huge fan of the Transformers cartoon. He had the Transformer toys. In fact, they actually have come back out now with Transformer toys. And they're basically, if you know what I'm talking about, Transformers are like cars or some type of a, looks like a mechanical, like machine, like a, might be a an airplane or a jet or a helicopter or a truck or a car. And what it does is it can transform into some type of like mechanical yet living being, all right? And they're like good Transformers, and they like tried to help out humans and protect the world and all this. Then there were bad Transformers. I think they were called Decepticons, and they would like do battle against each other, right? And when the Transformers cartoon would come on, they had like this little theme song that they would play. And in the song, they would say their slogan, Transformers, they're more than meets the eye. And what I want to encourage you to understand today is that for so many folks, being a follower of Jesus Christ, well, there's more than meets the eye. And really what we are is we are transformed. We have been transformed by God's grace for God's glory. And what I want to just point out in Scripture today is this great, great truth that the world may chase after science fiction, but what I want you to know is that being transformed by God's grace for God's glory is absolutely a possibility for you in your life. And Ephesians chapter 2 is a great foundational passage of Scripture for you to know. And really what I'm going to be doing in this summer sermon series called Transform is I'm going to be taking you to certain key passages that either are the testimony or also just the writings of the Apostle Paul, because he's a great example of a person whose life was transformed by grace for God's glory. And what I want each of us to know is that that's exactly what God wants to do in our life. He wants to transform us. He wants us. He wants to work in our lives to do His good and perfect will. So take Ephesians chapter 2 in hand. Stand with me and honor God's word. I want to read the first 10 verses out loud. Ephesians chapter 2, and honor God's word. We're on our feet. Listen and read God's word. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins. He's saying, now listen. He loved this church a lot, by the way. He helped to start this church in Ephesus. He had left them now and was ministering somewhere else, and he writes back to them. And he's kind of going to remind them of how they've been transformed by grace through faith. And he says, hey, remember what you used to be like? You were dead. He doesn't say, hey, y'all were happy. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, y'all were sometimes kind of sick spiritually, or you needed help. No, he says, you were dead. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. That's, boys and girls, that's the evil one. That's the devil he's talking about there, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, our sin nature, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And you know, we see the evidence of this wrath all around us. When you read the newspaper, you see the tragedy that takes place so often on planet Earth. There are times where I'll watch the news or I'll read the news and I'll be, I wish I hadn't even touched that. I wish I hadn't even have watched that news right there. Because it can be discouraging. And really what the Apostle Paul is pointing out is he's pointing out the bad news. He's pointing out the bad news, but then verse 4, he reminds them of the good news. He says, but God, and those two words right there change everything, folks. Don't ever forget that, but God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up with Him and He seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a long sentence. He would have driven an English or grammar teacher crazy. Paul loved to write in these long kind of run-on sentences. And you know, and you want to know why? It's because I think when he began to contemplate and the Holy Spirit was working in and through him to write this perfect word, I think he just became overwhelmed by God's grace, overwhelmed with what it means to be transformed by the Lord. And he just started praising. He just started praising, talking about God's love and His mercy and His grace. But he was writing as fast as he could. And then verses 8 through 10. And I want you to look on the screen. I want to say these out loud together. Three critical verses, good verses to learn. Read them out loud with me. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Father, help us. Help us this day, I ask, to understand Your Scripture so we can know and celebrate how You transform us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would. And as we kind of unpack this passage of Scripture, I want to just tell you something, man. I love a true story. I watch a movie from time to time, and really movies that really capture me tend to be movies that they say are based on a true story. I think about a movie that I really liked. It was Remember the Titans. Remember Denzel Washington was in that, and man, that guy's an incredible actor. And he's in there, Remember the Titans, and it's a story about this high school that had been integrated in Northern Virginia, and they have to work through some race issues, and they end up bonding as a team and becoming this undefeated championship team. And it is based on what they said is the inspiring true story. I remember another movie that I loved. It was the movie Blindside. And when it came out, they said it is based on the extraordinary true story, all right? The Blindside. And in fact, my wife and I went to that one evening, and the kids were over at the grandparents, and kids were spending the night there. And we came home, and we were so intrigued by the story portrayed in the movie Blindside that we went on the computer, and we kind of read about the true story. And we watched some of the interviews that took place with the real people and tried to read about it because we were just like, wow, what an amazing story. I think about an old movie like the movie Hoosiers, loosely based on the true story of a team, basketball team in the Midwest. Now, so you don't think I just watch movies that are about football or sports or something. When I was in college, I remember, and I had not seen this movie until I went to college, and there was a group of girls over in their dorm that invited some of us guys to come over and watch the movie Sound of Music. So I went, and that was based on a true story. So I'd never seen The Sound of Music, and so I just wanted to show you that I do watch movies that aren't sports movies if properly motivated, all right? And so we watched that, but I love a true story. Well, I want you to know there is no more true story that we ought to celebrate than the true story of God's transforming power, that by His grace, He can transform us for His glory. And that's what you see here in Ephesians 2. And my goal today is for you, if you've never, ever believed in this true story, I would pray and I would ask others in here to begin praying. If there's anyone in the room right now who's never put their faith and trust and belief in the true story of the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, that today you'll do that, that you'll do that. And also, I hope that if you've done that, you'll celebrate it. Maybe you haven't been celebrating. Maybe you haven't really been thinking about it. And also, my goal is to even try to encourage and maybe even equip you a little bit in how you can share the true story with others. Well, first of all, I want you to know, before people can really embrace the good news of God's transforming power, they got to know the bad news. And that's what you see, first of all. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. He writes, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. He says you were dead. Here's the bad news. We are lost without God. The bad news is that we are lost without God. Now, if you were in a waiting room there at a hospital, and you have a loved one that is being worked on in another room, and the doctor comes out, and the doctors tell you, ma'am, sir, we lost him. We lost him. Now I'm assuming that you're not going to think that they just somehow can't find him in the hospital. You're going to know exactly what they mean. When that doctor looks at you and says, we lost him, you know what they mean. You you're going to know that they've died. And that's an interesting word, students, that the Apostle Paul here uses the word dead. He doesn't say you were just kind of off your game. He doesn't say you're just having a bad day. He says, no, listen, you used to be dead in your trespasses and sin. And he is describing there our spiritual condition in life without Jesus Christ as our trusted Lord and Savior. We are lost without God. It's like we are dead. We are dead. You know, when a person dies physically, they don't respond to physical stimuli. You can talk to them and they don't talk back. You can wave at them and they don't wave back. You can cook a delicious meal and they don't eat any of it. They just don't respond. I remember getting the phone call. I was my last year at James Madison as a student, and I got the phone call that my mom's dad, my granddad, had passed away, that he had died. And I got in my car and I made my way south towards North Carolina. I went into North Carolina and I was going to meet the family, our family, at the funeral home. And I remember I pulled into the funeral home and I had never seen my grandfather sick. I never saw my granddad even sniffle. And I walked in that funeral home and there he was in that parlor, in that room, in the casket, the lid open. And I remember walking over to the casket and I took his big old hairy carpenter hands and I put them in my hands. And I'll be honest with you, man, I just began to weep. I just began to weep as I looked at his dead, lifeless body. And it was just natural. I just began to want to talk to him, began to pat his hand. But I want you to know there was no response. As I looked into his lifeless face, it never once looked at me and said, I love you, son. It never once cracked a smile. That cold hand that I patted, it did nothing but stay cold and limp and hard. He never reached up and grabbed a hold of my neck with his big old hands and pulled me close like he had so many times. He never put those big arms around me and held me tight. He never leaned up and gave me a kiss on the forehead and said, I love you, Shug, and I'll always. He never did that. He just laid there dead. No matter what I said or how I patted him, he didn't respond. You see, when you're dead, that's your condition. You don't respond to physical stimuli. And he paints the picture here that without Christ, it's like you're spiritually dead. You see, without Christ transforming us, we don't hear God's word the way we're supposed to hear. We don't experience God's power in our life to work in and through us. It's like we were dead. It's like we're not functioning right. There's no appetite for the Lord. There's no interest. There's no energy. There's no pain. Not functioning. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. James 1:15 says that sin results in death. Listen, without Christ, we are more than sick. It's more than having a bad day. The Bible paints it as if we were dead. And then you go on, and it's interesting. You read in verse 1 that you're dead, but then in verse 2, he says, in which you once walked. It's like we're the walking dead. Following the course of this world. There he's talking about that we're under the domination of the world, or really the world system. In the Greek language, it's the word cosmos, used over 150 times in the Greek New Testament to describe the culture or the worldview or the way of the world. It's like you'll see, it just seems like at times people are just kind of, it's like they don't even seem to question or wonder about if the way of the world is right. It's like, okay, we're just going to be that way. And come on, what's your big deal? What's your big problem? Hey, what's the deal? Don't you see that? Don't you see that? Hey, let's let folks be that way. Let him get along. There's no problem with that. We're under the domination of the world. And then he says this, you're also under the domination following the prince of the power of the air. And boys and girls, I want you to know what I'm talking about there especially. That's referring to the evil one, the devil. In fact, in the Gospel of John tells us that the evil one is the prince of this world, John 12:31. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the devil is called the god of this age. See, folks without Christ, until they're transformed by Jesus, they're dead and they're disobedient. They follow after the world. They follow after the devil and also after the flesh. It says in verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. You see, it's not always the devil that makes us do stuff. Sometimes it's just our sinful nature. See, it's like this. We're dead without Christ, and then we're like the walking dead without Christ. We're like zombies, man. We're like zombies, just under the domination of our flesh, the evil one, and of the worldview. Folks, that's lost. That's the picture of being lost without God. Those first three verses, you know, another word comes to mind. It's the word depraved. We're depraved. The book of Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. We have to understand how desperate our situation is without God. We are lost. And I tell you what, we're doomed. It says we're children of wrath. I think about maybe someone who's in a battle, and they're fighting a battle, and someone says, all was lost. Someone says all was lost in that type of setting. You know what they mean? They mean the battle's over. We're doomed. See, that's the bad news. The bad news is we're lost without God. That's the bad news. I never got into the TV show Lost. A lot of folks did. And it seemed like every time I would try to watch the show Lost, I could never figure out if they were having a dream or if it was really happening, or if they were even really lost, or if it was some guy's imagination. I just could never, ever catch on with the show Lost. But I want you to know something today. Being lost isn't a dream. Being lost isn't just something someone has made up. It's a reality. People are lost without God. That's the bad news. That's the bad news. But I want you to know there's good news. And that's what he tells them in verse 4. He says, But God, two words you ought to write down or circle them. Write down somewhere, circle these in your Bible. Don't ever, ever forget those life-changing words, but God. I think about how these are two of the greatest words in all the Bible, but God. I think about in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, it tells us there about how Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, but God was with him. Acts 13, 30, but God raised him from the dead. Romans 5, 8, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Don't ever, ever, ever forget the good news. And here's the good news. Bad news, we're lost without God. Good news, but God can change us. God can change us, folks. God can change our lives. He can transform us. Let me just kind of point out for you from Scripture here some actions that God took to change our lives. Listen to this good news. You look right there in verse 4. But God, it says, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us. You know, a lot of folks will say, well, I know God loves us. You know, for God so loved the world. I've heard that verse since I was a kid. They hold it up at football games and all that stuff. Folks, don't ever, ever get over that. We ought to never, ever get over that one action of God right there. He loved us. Let me tell you about his love. His love is described as his mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is this. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. And boy, God showed mercy even to Adam and Eve. And it's his grace. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. You know what grace is? Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. And he's given us eternal life. He's given us life in Christ. He's given us his Holy Spirit. Oh, that's all evidence of his grace. Why? Well, that's part of the good news. That's how God changes us. It's because he loved us. You look on, you see more good news. Verse 5, even when we were dead, what are we going to do about this dead situation, dead in our trespasses? It says, made us alive. He made us alive. He loved us, and now he's made us alive. You see, listen. It wasn't like we just needed to be reformed. It wasn't like we just needed to be revived. It wasn't like we just needed to be resuscitated. Listen. It was so bad, we were so lost, we needed to be resurrected by Christ. And then, you know, that's the picture you paint when you're baptized, by the way. It's like your old life is buried with Christ, and you're raised to walk, the Bible says, in new life. He made us alive. All of a sudden, he's quickened our spirits. All of a sudden now, you've begun to wake up to God's Word. And all of a sudden now, more than before, you're a little hungry for God's Word. All of a sudden now, you've got some energy and you've got to do something with this call of God upon your life to serve for His glory. And you know what also happens? You do begin to feel pain. All of a sudden you feel pain when you see stuff done that doesn't glorify the Lord. When you see stuff that doesn't love your neighbors, you feel pain. You also feel pain now and grief when you disobey your Father. It's because you're alive now. You're alive. Oh, He made us alive. I think about how the gospel records for us Jesus resurrecting people. I know of three accounts in Scripture where Jesus resurrected someone from the dead. I think about it was in Luke chapter 7, the widow's son, Luke chapter 8, Jairus' daughter, and then in John chapter 11, you probably have heard of this one maybe, Lazarus was raised from the dead. When Jesus raised each of them, He always did something. He always spoke. And you know what happens? You know how we're made alive? You hear the gospel. You hear Jesus call you. You hear the Word of God, and you put your faith in that. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing from the Word of God. And interesting, you look at Lazarus, what Lazarus did after he came back to life, after he was made alive. You know what Lazarus, that tells us later on in the Gospel of John? Lazarus fellowshipped and ate with Jesus. He had a meal with Jesus. You know what that, I think that teaches us right there. He makes us alive, and we then fellowship with Jesus. We fellowship with Jesus when we read the Scriptures together on our own, when we pray to Him, when we gather in a fellowship class, a Bible study. We're enjoying Jesus. Oh, He made us alive. Also, verse 6 tells us something. It says, then He raised us up with Him. As if this hadn't been enough. He raises us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Warren Wiersbe says it like this. He just doesn't raise you from the grave and leave you at the graveyard. He now invites you to enjoy His presence as you come to the throne room of His grace. Wow. He totally changes your life. That's what He wants to do. He wants to change us. He exalts us, and now you have access, as a transformed believer in Jesus, you have access to the Heavenly Father Himself. And then He does something else. He keeps us. Verses 7 through 9. You know, I think it's something we worry about is, well, what if something happens? What if all of a sudden I'm not one of His people anymore? You see, it's because oftentimes it's human nature. We think it's because of what we've done that He changes our lives. Look at what the Bible says. So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace. Remember what grace is? It's given us what we don't deserve. In kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And then verses 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's His grace that saves you through faith. And this is not what? Say it with me. Your own doing. Say that. It's not what? It's not what? Your own doing. Not your own doing. It is the what? Gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know what? He keeps us. That's good news. He keeps us. That's how God changes our lives. You see what He does is He saves us. He then secures us. But then, oh, don't ever leave out verse 10 of chapter 2. He makes us significant. Look with me at verse 10. Verse 10 says this, for we are His workmanship. The word workmanship is from the Greek word poema, which we get our English word poem. It means that we're like something God crafts, and we're His masterpiece, and He's writing on our lives to communicate to the world His grace, created in Christ Jesus. We're created for something. We've been created for good works, which God prepared beforehand. You see, you know the bad news. We're lost without God. The good news is, but God can change our lives. Here's the breaking news. God can use you to make a difference. He can. You are His poem to this world. You are His workmanship. He has created you to do good works. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say He created you to work. I'd have been good with that. That's what we think a lot of times. God just created us to now do some things, all right? No, He says good works. Interesting Think about it. Look at the Bible. Early part of Genesis, God works. How does God refer to his work? He creates the stars. What does he call them? That looks good. He creates the earth. That looks good. He creates the animals and the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. What did he say? That looks what? Good. He creates human beings and he says what? This is good. Listen. Think about this. God can use you to make a difference. You know what? When you, through the power of his Holy Spirit, are transformed into someone who's making a difference in the name of Jesus, you know what God does when he looks at that work? He says, that's good. You've looked at the stars on the telescope. You've looked out on the ocean. And you thought, wow. Wow, God, that's amazing. God looks at you when you give that meal, when you teach those children, when you call that hurting person, when you get on that airplane to go to Africa, when you get on that bus tomorrow to go to Philadelphia, when you're there in Maryland with those children trying to keep everybody together and discipling them at that camp, you know what God says? God says, that's good work. You know, it's not us. It's God using us to make a difference. That's being transformed by grace for his glory. That's transformed. You know, I want you to take this little book for a moment. I just want to highlight this for you. On the screen, I think they're going to go to the website. Our church website, one of the flash pages on our church website, you can click on this, and this takes you to the Story website. The Story, by the way, you can download the app for your iPhone or your iPad. You can share this story, the true story, with a neighbor, family member, classmate, coworker, whomever. And I want you just to see this because people need to know the good news. They need to know the true story because a lot of folks think that being transformed by God is just science fiction. But it's true. It's the greatest story ever told, and he wants to use us to celebrate that story and to communicate that story. So let me just kind of show you how simple it is. And this book is for you to keep. We'll give you more. First of all, I think folks really wonder, how did it all begin? And I would encourage you, and it says this right when you open the book there, for us to stop being scared to tell people what the Bible says. How did it all begin? I think we need to start saying, here's how it began. It began with creation. Creation. You know, I know what we think. For years now, a generation plus, when we've come to telling people about Jesus, we don't even mention creation. Because I know a lot of times we're thinking, well, they might believe in evolution. You know, it's taught all over the place. And I mean, listen, I'm telling you this. I think there's a whole lot of folks out there, and I've talked to physics professors, biologists. I've talked to folks out there who say, you know, it takes a lot of faith to believe evolution. In fact, I'll tell you, I think it takes a lot more faith to believe evolution than to believe in the creation story. I think a great place to start is to look at someone and to say, just look at creation. I mean, I think about the marvel of a newborn baby. I think about the marvel of the creation we see. The book of Romans tells us it's obvious to people that God is at work. I think about the human eye, how amazing just the human eye is. I'll give you a household example. Go home this afternoon to your refrigerator and pull out an egg, a chicken egg. I don't have time to go into it, but a chicken egg is absolutely amazing at how it works, how it nurtures that little chicken inside there, how it protects, how it nurses it, and even then how that little bird gets out. Amazing. Taking people back to creation, that God created them in the beginning. It's how the Bible begins. It's not a bad place for us to begin. Then I think people have a second question. Well, if it was all created by God and so wonderful, what happened? Isn't that the question? What went wrong? Here's what went wrong. It's what we call the fall. It's the fall. You see, what happened is, you remember the story in Genesis, the evil one, the prince of this world, came and he tempted Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve disobeyed. They rebelled against God. And folks, that's been the story of human history ever since. And you know what? A lot of us down deep, we get that. Even folks who haven't put their faith in Jesus yet, how can you help? How can you help but not see the rebellion and the disobedience that's out there. I mean, my word. I mean, I think about some of you guys who, for instance, are state policemen or county policemen. Those of you who are school teachers, or those of you who are moms and dads, or those of you who've just ever been around any other human being. I mean, you see it all the time, don't you? What went wrong? It's what we call the fall. So, can anything be done? You see that there with that life ring? Yeah, something has been done. It's what we call the rescue. The whole story of the Bible, you need to understand, is this. In the midst of those sacrifices, in the midst of all those lessons in the Old Testament, it was pointing towards one great story. The story of Jesus Christ coming into this world, as Luke chapter 19 says, to seek and to save the lost. Oh, the good news. You want to know how God transforms us? Through Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Who was He? You turn the page there, man. He keeps God's promise. You see that story there. Well, then people want to know, well, what about the future? What does the future hold? Well, you'll see there the word restoration. He makes all things new. He makes us new. And He gives us the promise that one day He will make a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, folks, He restores us with Him. He restores us to a relationship with Him. Folks, that's the simple true story right there. It's time to start telling the true story. Because here's the breaking news. God can use you to make a difference. God can use you to make a difference by simply telling the good news that God can transform us. Why do we need to do it? Because the bad news is we're lost without Him. We're lost without Him. I want to encourage you to take this and download that app. Take folks to the website. Celebrate the true story, and don't be afraid to communicate the true story. The world's had enough science fiction. It's time for them to know that being transformed isn't science fiction. It's a true story. I want to lead us in prayer. And as I lead us in prayer, I want to simply give this invitation as well. If you're here today and you have never not really sure you've ever really told the Lord that you believe His true story, that Jesus can transform your life, I want to be down front. I want to invite you during the song even. Yes, during the song. As others are standing up, singing, you just walk down here and let me know that today you want to put your faith, your trust in the true story of what God has done for you. I'll be down front ready to receive you. I'll want to pray with you, and I'm going to lead you in a way, that, a prayer, that just so you can talk to the Lord yourself. And then that'll allow us to begin to know what God's doing in your life, and we can encourage you. We can encourage you as God begins to write the next chapter of your life. Maybe you're here today and you're ready to unite with this church family and to say, yes, we want to move from being attenders to being members and really invest ourselves even more than we already are, Brian. We want to invest ourselves even more in the life and ministry of this church family. As a church, we endeavor to reach our neighbors and the nations with this true story. And as we begin to experience as believers with each other, being transformed by the good news of Christ. Maybe you've never been baptized as a believer. You can come forward and share with me if you're ready to make a commitment to doing that very shortly here. Well, whatever we can do for you, we're here to pray for you and encourage you in the Lord. You might just want to pray for someone as you stand and sing this song. You might just want to praise God for His grace, His amazing love. Well, let me pray for us as we get ready to respond to Him. You want to stand to your feet? Go ahead and stand up. Kind of stand up. Get ready to respond to the Lord however He leads, all right? Father, Lord, help us. Help us to never, ever get over this true story. Lord, so often folks have just attempted to take a very true, direct, relatively simple story, and we've almost thought it needed to be a lot more complicated. Lord, what gets so complicated is us surrendering our lives and putting our faith and trust in the truth of Your Word and Your transforming power in our lives. Lord, it's tough oftentimes for us to Just yield our lives to your transforming power. To really believe that you can use us to make a difference if we'll simply allow you to work in and through us. So, Lord, I pray today that we'll be transformed and that you'll just begin and continue to do that work that you're doing in us. Oh, Lord God, I pray for those going on mission this week. And I pray that each and every one of us will know that we are blessed by you. Oh, but for God, my life would be so, so different. But God changes lives. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for proving us once and for all God's amazing love. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, I pray. And may we never, ever stop celebrating and communicating this true story. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as